message in music too. Let's open the scriptures to Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 9. Paul writes, I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let us pray. God of peace, giver of joy, increase our joy today in Christ through your word as it comes to us, has already been coming to us, but especially now in proclamation and in music. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Now that's not the first time that Paul has used this word, rejoice, in our scripture passage and in the whole letter of Philippians. In fact, Philippians is sometimes called the epistle of joy because of how frequently Paul brings up this whole subject of rejoicing. Or maybe think of it this way, if Philippians, this letter, were a song, then rejoice is the refrain that it keeps coming back to. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now that sounds exactly like what a pastor or music director or maybe other worship leader would say as they're standing before the congregation gathered together for worship. But we have to remember that in this case, Paul isn't standing before the congregation. He's separated from the fellowship of God's people by hundreds of miles. He's in jail, put there because of his witness to Christ. So he writes to the Philippians, and he writes in order to sort of assure them of his situation, to thank them for a gift that they have shared with him, and to offer them words of encouragement and strength in the sufferings and the persecutions and the struggles that they themselves face. So he says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Those may sound at first like strange words coming from an incarcerated pastor to a persecuted congregation. Why talk about joy when things seem to be going so badly for Paul and for the congregation? Well, I think if we look a little bit closer, we'll get a deeper sense of why joy is still appropriate in Paul's mind. For one thing, Paul isn't telling them, well, cheer up, look on the bright side, try to be happy, put on a happy face, just try to keep smiling. Paul isn't, in our text today, trying to be a cheerleader. That's not who he is. He's an emissary of the gospel, messenger of the good news of Jesus Christ. And this time, it's just a situation where he's preaching the gospel, he just happens to be preaching it from a jail cell. That's the major difference. Still preaching gospel. He may not be able to join them for Sunday morning worship, but that can't stop him from delivering the Lord's message. He's already talked to them earlier in this letter about the good work of salvation that God has begun among them through Jesus Christ, that God will bring to completion. God has unleashed this saving power into their lives that's working in them, will eventually bring out their complete and full transformation into the likeness of Christ. So in view of what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do, it's entirely appropriate that they should keep rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. And that's because joy has a certain depth and durability about it. It's not a superficial cheerfulness. Rather, joy is a gift of God that comes through deepening relationship with Christ and deepening relationship with Christ's people in the life of the church. Joy isn't dependent, we learn, on health, wealth, comfort, or success. Joy, we're told, is dependent on God. Dependent on God. Joy is sort of a settled state of assurance and confidence in God's love demonstrated toward us, most of all in Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. And joy comes out of that. Notice how Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. So Christ is both the object of our joy and the basis, really, of our joy. It's joy in the Lord. In other words, God's purpose, what he intends for his people through Christ, won't be derailed. He'll finish what he started through Christ, and that's the foundation of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. Again, I'll say it, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Not just rejoice in the Lord, but rejoice in the Lord always. Always. So Paul not only tells us to experience and express joy that's grounded in Christ, he also tells us to do this at all times, in all circumstances. That word in our text that gets translated as always is a word that really means ongoing, continuous activity. In other words, joy isn't sort of a spontaneous, brief eruption of gladness. It's more than just a temporary spiritual high, Paul says. Day in, day out, during highs and lows, success and failure, delight and despair, pleasure and pain, in the midst of all these things, for the believer, there is a constant, and it's called joy, he says, joy. Joy is more than just a moment of being on a spiritual high. It's a daily way of life. Always. Always. What word could better capture all of our life experiences or all of the world's experiences in different ways? Always. Always. I once read an article in a Christian magazine where the authors were talking about our need to discover joy, and this is part of what they wrote. One reason we are permanently and perennially attracted to a serious call to a purpose-driven life is the state of the planet. According to a recent report from the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, world hunger is only worsening. Nuclear threats grow daily in the Middle East. Human trafficking is expanding. Billions are mired not just in poverty of material needs, but also poverty of spirit. Who in their right mind can talk about joy? They write. Empathy, yes, but to put on joy when so many are dressed in the rags of anxiety, grief, and despair, well, it would be scandalous. There will be time for rejoicing once we make some headway on the human catastrophe. But then, to sort of counter that, they go on to point out that Christian joy, the kind of joy that's grounded in what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, isn't really the kind of thing that waits until everything is fixed or gets straightened out or put right before it breaks out. That's contrary to the nature of joy, which is joy always, Paul says. On the contrary, the kind of joy generated by the gospel, he says, breaks out and shows up just when everything looks like it's falling apart. Just when it looks like things are too bleak. Just when it looks like there's no hope left to fix this. joy shows up in Christ. Remember, Paul is writing to the Philippians, as I noted earlier, from prison. And imprisonment and the conditions that went with it were very different in that day and time in many ways from what we know of in our own day and time. Conditions beyond what many of us could even imagine. But notice that Paul doesn't wait until circumstances for him and for them improve before he tells them to have joy. In fact, he doesn't tell the Philippians, well, you know, once I'm out of this filthy, crowded cell, once I'm no longer half naked, half starved, cold, listening to the cries and screams of other prisoners being tortured, once I'm out of these chains, then I'll rejoice and I'll give you all permission to rejoice. But for now, Philippians, cancel your worship service. Close up your hymnals. Shelve those cantatas back where you had them. When things look up and improve for me and for you, then I'll give you permission to rejoice. That's not what he says in our text today. On the contrary, he tells them that now, in the midst of all this, is when joy is breaking forth for him and should be for them as well. Right in the midst of what seems so bleak and hopeless and in a state of despair, as Paul himself notes, even if he may meet the end of his own life, a violent death at the end there himself, a violent death at the hands of the authorities, his joy and their joy can't be killed. It can't. In fact, he's noted earlier, I may be in chains, but the gospel isn't. The word of God isn't. And that's the way it is with joy. Joy always has this sort of nevertheless or in spite of quality about it. In other words, in spite of circumstances that outwardly seem to deny the sovereignty of God and the goodness of God and the love of God in our lives and in the world, we still, he says, continue to rejoice. And rejoice partly because God may actually use those circumstances to advance his work in our lives and in the world in ways that we can't imagine or comprehend. There's a story told about a devoted Christian who was undergoing chemotherapy, and a friend said to her, you know, under the circumstances, I can't understand how you're so cheerful. And this devoted believer said with humility and personal convictions, under the circumstances, I'm not under any circumstance. Because of Jesus, I'm on top of the circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let's pray. God, giver of joy through Christ, thank you for the work of salvation that you have begun in our lives through him, that you are still working on, and that you promise to complete at his coming. Whatever our circumstances now in our individual lives, in the lives of our families, our homes, in the life of our church, we pray, trusting that joy will continue to break forth and thrive, that we'll hear it now not only in the word from Scripture and the word preached, but that we'll hear that joy now in song, and that through it you'll bring us into the joy of your presence with us. We pray now your blessing upon the voices that are lifted up to you now, and that you use to proclaim joy. Through Jesus Christ, amen.